Ramsey TV.
What is it about celebrity? I talked about this last week. I mean, it's really a phenomenon. And it's in the world because it's legit. But as I said, just the wrong people are celebrities. I was tooling around on YouTube today, which is what I do to relax. I watch old shows, like from the 70s. I watch Johnny Carson from the 70s. I watch game shows from the 70s, like Match Game and $10,000 Pyramid. It's like I'm rooting for people to win a car who have been dead for 40 years. That's how crazy this world is. You know, I'm going, come on, you can do it. I mean, how crazy is that? Well, this is Martin Zender. Whether it's crazy or not, I'm here in Fort Lauderdale. And so I was watching an 84 broadcast of Letterman with Burt Reynolds. And Burt had mentioned that he had a restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. It's called Burt and Jack's. And he was a partner with a guy named Jack Jackson. This guy wasn't a celebrity or anything. He was just a restaurant owner. And it was here in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, they had this Burt and Jack's. I'd never heard of it. It went out of business in 2002, and they tore it down in 2006. But it was near the Port Everglades, where the cruise ships come in that area. But what was interesting about the article was it mentioned that at the restaurant opening in 1984, Bert couldn't make it. He was with his girlfriend, Lonnie Anderson. He was staying at the Pier 66 Hotel with Lonnie Anderson, who became his wife later. Lonnie Anderson, beautiful starlet. She was in the television series WKRP in Cincinnati. And I thought, wow, because I run past this hotel every day. It's right over the 17th Street Bridge. It's dilapidated. I'm pretty sure it's marked for destruction because you can look right through the windows, see to the other side. But just as recently as 2 years ago, Matt Holland stayed there with his mother, Nancy, and I visited them in the Pier 66 Hotel. I guess it was once a, you know, really, really nice place. I mean, it was nice then, but... So as I ran past it, I'm picturing, I said, Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson were in that hotel. Now, Burt was staying there, but he didn't make the opening because he had an attack of kidney stones. But it was so interesting that the article mentioned he had stayed at Pier 66 Hotel. So as I'm running past her this morning, I'm just like in awe. I'm like, wow, Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson were in there. I wonder if they had sex. I wonder which room they had sex in. And then I'm thinking, because, see, I had a poster of Lonnie Anderson when I was like 17, 18. It was down in my basement, and I would lift weights down there and use it for inspiration. This is the poster that I had. This is the one that I had. And so I said, well, they probably didn't have sex because Bert was having kidney stone problems. So but I said, Lonnie Anderson was probably naked. Lonnie Anderson was naked in that hotel. I wonder which room it was. I'm thinking these thoughts. A guy who's in the body of Christ, who's poised to be snatched away, taken to realms celestial at the right hand of God. And I'm going, ooh, I bet Lonnie Anderson was naked in that building. Wow, which room? Burt Reynolds, wow. So that's the craziness of celebrity. Before I get down to business, you're probably wondering when I am going to get down to business. Well, not yet. I'll get down to business when I'm good and ready. I find treasures on the road when I run, as you know, and I've found sunglasses. I've shown you the sunglasses that I've found. I showed you something else that I found. I can't remember. Well, oh, I showed you Carl, the little turtle. Yeah, it's Carl. He's over there sitting on top of my microwave. Well, this was a heck of a find. I found this cap. I don't know why anybody needs to wear this in Fort Lauderdale. It's a St. Louis. I think it's a St. Louis Cardinals, is it not? So this is pretty nifty. I was happy about that. There's some cool days here in the morning. Sometimes it gets down to 52. Sorry. And I found this. I found this Costa Rica money. Now, I was so excited when I saw the 2 mil. See that? I thought that mil stood for like 2 million colones. That's the coin of the realm down there in Costa Rica. I was excited. I thought maybe I was rich. So I looked up this thing and I found out that 2 mil is actually 2,000. I thought, okay, nevertheless, 2,000. Maybe I'm rich. Well, 2,000 colones from Costa Rica is today in the United States worth $3.80. So that's enough of that. Not going to get rich off that. Then I found this, if you can believe it. I found this cute little bunny rabbit on the side of the road. And this thing is chocolate scented. I kid you not. What does that say? What does that say? Does it say chocolate scented? All right, then. And it really does smell like chocolate. I'm not kidding. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely smells like chocolate. So this is a beautiful thing. I couldn't carry it with me because I was at the beginning of my run. So I hid this thing. I haven't named it yet. I hid it behind a bush. Under a log behind a bush. You remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember that. I didn't like it there. I stayed there overnight and it rained. No, it didn't rain. I know, I just said that. All right. Now, what I want to tell you about is the days I worked as a Coca-Cola salesman. Because I, like everyone else, I feel the pull of the world. And there's always competition for us. Jesus talked about in the parable of the seed that was cast. Some of it fell on rocky soil and the cares of the world choke it, right? The cares of the world. Well, there are not only the cares of the world, there's the attraction, the lure of the world. And how many times have I told you that I think Paul was desperate to snag Timothy, to have Timothy continue the work? Because at the end of his life, Paul was cognizant of the fact that if somebody doesn't carry this on, it might not be carried on. And he's almost desperate. You get the idea from reading Timothy. And my idea is that Timothy had a business opportunity. I've mentioned this before, maybe a girlfriend. And so there's the pull. Well, I'll never forget I believe it was 1996. I had been in this work. Maybe it was 1997. I'll just say 97. I'd been in this work for 5 years. I was married with three kids. And one of Marcia's friends asked us to work at the Fireman's Festival, the 4th of July Fireman's Festival. It's the biggest deal in Greenwich, Ohio. Yes, Greenwich, Ohio, population 1,500 people. It was like a civic duty. You volunteered for the Fireman's Festival. They wanted us to work the Coke trailer. I wasn't too crazy about it at first, but Marcia talked me into it, and I said, okay, we're going to work a couple hours at the Coca-Cola trailer. Well, let me tell you something. It was just a small little trailer with a metal floor that just, you know, was uneven, and it would pop and everything like that. Speaking of pop, so there I was working a shift with Marcia at the Coca-Cola trailer, and I have never felt so accepted in my life. Something washed over me in that Coca-Cola trailer. I was selling the most popular product on planet Earth, one of the most popular products on planet Earth. And as soon as we started up, people were lined up for what? Coca-Cola, because I was their connection to Coca-Cola. Nobody gets Coca-Cola but by me. And so they were lining up for carbonated sugar water with caramel coloring. And it was so different than my regular job. As I said, I'd already been doing this for a few years. And my job is fraught, as I suggested yesterday, just barely got into it, but I suggested that some parts of this job make life difficult. Constantly struggling uphill against the flow of what is popular, what is acceptable in the world. Not only of the world, the pagan world, the secular world, but the Christian world, especially the Christian world. Uphill, uphill, all the way. Depending upon the goodness in the hearts of the saints to send money to support the work, because I decided early on that I just wasn't going to charge anything for the newsletter I started writing back then, which was called the Idle Babbler Illustrated. It started in June of 94. That was a big decision. Do I charge for this, or do I just Tell people, look, this is yours. You can. It's free. If you think it's worth something, if it helps you and you want to contribute to help me keep going, please do. But if you don't, nobody's going to force you to. It's yours for the taking. That was the most important decision I made, because I think if I had charged for that thing, I would have been broke in 2 years. Because when you draw upon the goodness of people, and it's the power of grace, not law. Law says you owe me $22 a year for this newsletter, and if you don't give me $22, you don't get it. That's law. But that's acceptable in this world. It's perfectly fine. That's what happened at the Coke trailer. Ooh, let me tell you what happened at the Coke trailer. But see, I didn't want to exercise law. Since this was going to be a ministry of grace, then it was going to be grace all the way, and I took the plunge, and I offered my product for free. And I was talking to a financial advisor back then, and he was asking me all these questions like, okay, well, how many subscribers do you have to this newsletter? At the time, I had 11. He said, okay. He said, how much are you going to charge for this thing once you get it rolling? I said, well, I'm not going to charge anything for it. He looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah, he said, well, what? You ain't going to spend, you ain't going to charge anything for it. Couldn't believe it. I was getting nervous at this meeting I had with this guy. So we went to the chalkboard, and he's writing all these figures down about how I was going to be thin. You're going to be thin. He kept saying, you're going to be thin. You're going to be thin. How much money do you have saved up? And I told him, he goes, oh, you're going to be thin, thin. You're going to be thin. And he was telling me I had mortgaged my house, and he was giving me all these facts and figures. And I walked out of there just deflated, a loser. I called my wife, and I said, we're done. We're idiots. We're stupid. Three things. Marsha called her from a phone booth near Lindy's Ice Cream at the corner of Myrtle Street and Pleasant Street. Pleasant Street was a misnomer if there ever was one. I called her. I said, we're done. We're stupid. This is terrible. We can't do it. I was months away from starting this work. So, but then I just threw myself on the Lord. I went through this horrible fear, as I've told you, panicked. I said, what am I doing? I'm crazy. I'm going to do it anyway because this is a calling, and I'm either called or crazy, folks. If you ever wonder, I'm either called or crazy, and I'm not crazy. So that was part of the struggle, because the income was up and down and up and down. I had a wife and three kids, and my wife was working at home and raising the children. So the up, down, it was harrowing. So there I am at the Coke trailer. People are lining up. And it was $2 for a large Coke, $1 for a small Coke. That's all we had, large and small, no other sizes. It's like the Model T Ford. You can have any color you want as long as it's black. You can have any size Coke you want as long as it's large or small. One more choice than the Model T. So, but nobody questioned it. It was so great. People just handed over their money like nothing. They wanted this carbonated sugar water, and they wanted it badly. And I had it. I was the priest between the Coca-Cola, between the product of the Eon and them. And they handed it over. They handed the money over without even thinking about it. It was unbelievable. I mean, none of the money was mine, of course, but I was just amazed. And another thing, with my job, it was full of controversy. Always. I didn't realize when I started this work how controversial even the basic things were. I went to a conference in 1995 in Melbourne, Florida. And in fact, Jim Corum called me. I was on the way down. My family was going with me, the whole family. And we were staying at a hotel somewhere in Virginia. And I remember Jim Corum called me, and the president of the Concordant Publishing Concern. I was already a dude to reckon with, I guess. Oh, so he said, you know, be careful down there because, you know, not everybody believes the same thing. And I was just an innocent boy. I didn't know that. I thought, well, at least they believe the basics. Jim said, just be on your guard. I'm warning you. So I go down there. And Clay Kent is one of the main teachers. And we were arguing about free will. I couldn't believe I was at a Concordant conference and people were arguing about free will. I freaked out. I just couldn't believe it. So it's controversy from day one. Always controversy, questions. Well, in the Coke trailer that day, there was not one question. There was not one controversy. Nobody asked me why. Nobody doubted my motives either. There's another thing. People doubt your motives. What are you in this for? Why are you doing this? Nobody asked me, why are you selling Coke? Nobody debated the merits of Coke over Pepsi or Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper. No, the sign on the trailer said Coca-Cola, and that's what we were selling. There was no controversy. There was no question. Nobody questioning my motives. They just knew that I was the guy and my wife was the girl, and nobody comes to Coke but by us. And it was not embarrassing. You know, Paul told Timothy not to be ashamed of the evangel. Why? Because there's something to be ashamed of there. I had this fantasy while I was working at the Coke trailer. I said, what if I got a job with Coca-Cola? What if I drove a Coke truck? Can you imagine that? You're driving this gigantic semi with the Coca-Cola symbol on the side. What could be better? I mean, Coke is a happy product, I got to tell you. Coke is a happy product. I don't drink it very often, but when I do, it's beautiful. Everybody wants a Coke. Ice cold Coke. Those three words belong together. Ice cold Coke. It's almost like one word. Ice cold Coke. What do you want? Give me an ice cold Coke. Give me an ice cold Coke. So I thought, what if I worked for the company? I thought of the pride. There it is. Oh my gosh, it washed over me. It washed over me how accepted I would be. I would like come out of my Coke truck to take my product to the 7-Eleven, to the Walmart, to the wherever, and I would just strut out of that truck. I'd be like, yeah, and I'd have a shirt with a Coca-Cola on it. Everything I did would be Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola. I'd be Mr. Coca-Cola, and everybody would love me, love me. Why? Because as soon as they see me, as soon as they see my truck, they have wonderful feelings. They start to get a reaction. You know, because they're all addicted to it. Everybody's addicted to Coca-Cola, and so they start to taste that bubbly concoction. You're going to have a Coke after this show. You're going to have a Coke. An ice cold Coke. You're going to have an ice cold Coke. I want an ice cold Coke. All right, after the show, I'll give you an ice cold Coke. Okay, good. All right. But instead, I have to explain. It takes me 10 minutes to explain my job. Well, what do you do for a living? Well, you see, I write. Oh, what do you write about? Well, I write books about God. Oh, you're a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. Well, what are you? This didn't happen at the Coke trailer. What do you do? I sell Coke. Oh, God. You the one that sells Coke? I felt like in my job I needed a card, a business card that says, I suffer evil with the evangel. I could just hand that out. What do you do? Here, just read my card. I suffer evil with the evangel. Pity my poor wife. All her fellow ladies. Is that what you call them? Fellow ladies? Fellow ladies? I guess so. What does your husband do? Well, if she could only say he sells Coca-Cola, he drives a Coca-Cola truck, then all would have been well. I kind of had this, at the time I was working for the U.S. Postal Service, so there was something Marsha was proud of. My husband works for the post office. He works for the post office. That's exactly how she used to say it. He works for the post office. And in his spare time, he sells Coke. It's like, oh my God, you bow down. Amazing. The Postal Service. I had a cush government job. Everybody envied it. Everybody wanted it. It was a great thing to say. You worked for the post office back in those days. And I started with him in 84. January of 85, that is. And so, yeah, it was a great thing. So on top of that, I'm selling Coca-Cola. These were heady days, my friend, heady days. No, that's not right. No, wait, that's not right. I just told you that the Coca-Cola came in my days as a sufferer of an evangel concerning evil in the announcement of it. That's right. I don't think I could have handled it, actually. I couldn't have handled working for the USPS and selling Coke at the same time. That would have been overload. God knew that. So he made sure he separated these things. And he really did. He gave me this experience of selling Coca-Cola to give me the contrast, the full contrast. And when they asked for volunteers the next year, I said, yeah, sign us up. And so I was actually looking forward every year to working there. It was a reprieve. You know, it was just the slightest reprieve from this work. But after our duty was done, after our 2 hours, then I went back to suffering evil with the evangel. But while I was doing that, every once in a while, I would drink a Coke.